Coming up on TMS, decode this for me.
Automate this.
Game of Thrones doing some spin-off business.
Kanye is serious.
Jack Ryan gets all up in your Amazon.
How much is internet here?
Call now.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Try some of this, try some of that. A little more of this, a little more of that. Give them all a little pat of butter. Spread on this, take off.
Delicious, pure, fresh, natural dairy butter. It has only 36 calories per pack, the same as margarine. Isn't that terrific?
Look at this, look at that. Give them all a little pat of butter.
They cut you one time, two time, maybe, and then you bleed to death. You finish, yeah?
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, because knowing is half the battle.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Thursday, October 1st, 2015. It is officially October-y, the month of the scary stuff.
It is, yeah.
And by scary stuff, I mean Costco getting Christmas things all way too early.
That is about right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd, so on the money.
Costco, Walmart, Kmart, if they still exist in your neck of the woods, they all start getting that. By the way, yesterday it popped into my another show I was doing, but does the store name Skaggs have any memory for you?
Oh, yeah, I remember Skaggs.
Remember Skaggs?
Yeah. Skaggs what? Drugs, S-K-A-G-G-S.
What happened to Skaggs? Skaggs Drugs.
Ricky and Boz sued and took the name back.
They were out. That was it. They were done. Oh, here it is. The Skaggs Family American Stores. It says here that...
They're probably no Family Dollar or something, right?
They were now bought... Okay. They were purchased by somebody. So chances are if you see a Safeway, an Osco, a Payless... Payless, geez.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Albertsons or long drugstores, Katz even, they often are, they kind of sold a bunch of those locations.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently this thing started in Idaho Falls, right? California, maybe? Anyway. Safeway. Oh, okay. Safeways are, but yeah, anyway. So no more Skaggs. F that.
So it's the predecessor to Safeway, Albertsons, Osco, and Long's Drugs.
Mm-hmm. But it also felt like, it felt like a Walmart to me. Like we would get general goods there. It wasn't just grocery stores.
I can barely remember.
I remember I got a lot of candy on the cheap there, and I remember playing, they had arcade games out in the entranceway where you would also have like the carts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'd have like a Missile Command and a Battle Zone, like all the old Atari stuff, and I'd go and just plug quarters into that thing and drink Coke. I remember doing that at the Skaggs near me.
I had to pull up, I wanted to see, you know, you do an image search for Skaggs, and the first thing that comes up is numerous pictures of Ricky Skaggs. Mm-hmm. But then once you flip it over to Skaggs drugstore, then you start seeing the logo. It's like, oh, I totally remember. It's not even so much that I remember the old Western font that they use.
Yep.
Until you see it at the bottom of a price tag.
Yep, that sounds right. Look at
once
that. It brings back memories, dude.
Totally does.
Weird. Oh, and Skaggs and Albertsons, they're all tied. Okay, because I guess they're now. Yeah, now there's lots of Albertsons near us now. And that must be what happened. They just ate them up.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway. Good job, Skaggs.
Cat, what the hell are you doing? You're knocking shit over.
Taking a big wet dump.
You are. Oh, God. That is really the dumbest way you could have done that.
Can't tell a cat that. They don't care.
They don't care.
There's some new study says that cats don't give a rat's ass about
That's
you.
Right. That they could live without us.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't love you. They come and they rub on you, but that's just a bred thing to like get what they need. And if you're not going to give it, they're out of there. Go somewhere else. They don't care. Yep. And I've said this for years. My dogs don't really care about me. If I died.
Oh, no.
At least Daisy was this way. All right. If I would have died and started rotting, she'd just eat me.
Right.
I think
cats would do that. I think dogs would be like, oh, no, I can't do that. And then they'll watch the cat start eating you. And they'll like, all right, well, if you're going to do it.
Exactly. Or they would be just so hungry, they forget to care. Or let's say if it's emotionally hard for them, they would just. They go, oh, I hate doing this. I miss my owner. Om nom 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 nom.
Right, exactly.
They wouldn't care.
Now
anyway.
She's going to go lay down in the recycling bin. All right, because that's more comfortable than the carpeted perch.
Today, sure. Yeah, of course. Today is weird in two ways. First way, there is no PM edition of the show. I apologize for the late notice. I have an important client meeting that cannot be rearranged on time, and I have no other time during the day. So today, there is no PM edition of the show. However, there is this edition. The only other weird thing about it is Wendy is not here. She's moving today. Or this
moving
week.
Where?
The new place. So
staying in Sweden, though.
Yeah. The way Sweden works is, especially if you come from America, good luck finding anywhere to live. And they barely found the place they were in, and that had a very limited window. That window is now up, so they had to scramble and find yet another place.
So the tip if you're moving to Sweden is keep moving.
Yeah, keep moving. Just keep on moving. There's no place
don't
in the city.
Stand still.
Nowhere in the city to live. They had this farmhouse that they were in most recently, and now they're moving to yet another farmhouse.
Wow.
Somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. So it's a little crazy over there. They have no internet and no connectivity where they're at. So that's why. But we should have her back next week and wish her and the family luck on their move. She's some kind of freakish offspring. She doesn't. My sister is. She can handle anything. Throw at her any.
Right. And she just rolls with it.
Yep. And rolls into it. Like just like let's go.
Lean into the pitch.
Yep. She has two settings: sleep and go for it. And that's it.
Great.
Yeah. Those are it. So later we'll have call now. We're gonna have you guys call us in and ask us a question. We haven't done that in a while. We like to reserve days like that. Yeah.
And it'll serve as an ask TMS since there's no PM today, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll be like an instant ask TMS.
Yeah. Plus you're getting some emails and all kinds of other stuff. In fact, I'm gonna start with one. We got an email from Will Geiger.
Will Geiger,
he's constantly going off when there's like radiation around. I can't understand what's wrong with that guy. Get it, Geiger counter, get it. That's pretty good. Anyway, dear Smokey and the Bandit, we need to decode this email.
Okay.
Dear Smokey and the Bandit, fine, we're good so far. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks from the DVD release, Will from Alabama.
Okay.
That's it.
That's now, it. So 2 weeks from the DVD release.
The subject line was also 2 weeks from the DVD release.
And when did you receive this email?
Yesterday.
Okay.
So, or maybe this morning. This morning. Sorry. So 2 weeks from the DVD release is the only message. It's from Will from Alabama. The only thing that's else written here is Dear Smokey and the Bandit. Does he mean, the only decoding I've been able to do is Smokey and the Bandit coming out on DVD in 2 weeks? That doesn't seem, it seems like that's something that probably already happened.
I would think that it's already been on DVD. Maybe there's a new special edition. I don't know. What we need to do is look at what's coming out on DVD on October 15th.
Brilliant. That's a perfect way to approach this. Also, I thought maybe this is one of those guys, like we get this on Twitter sometimes, where...
Oh, wait a minute. No, Dice Tomato has an explanation that makes more sense.
All right, what's that?
That the spoiler window should be 2 weeks after the DVD release.
Oh.
Not 2 weeks after the movie's released in theaters.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Movies. Let's say that that's your rule for movies.
Mm-hmm.
How about TV shows, though? Because that's different. They're all different, staggered differently. Do we have to wait?
Who knows when that's going to come out on streaming or come out on
Hulu
or Netflix
Shows don't show up on DVD for 10 years.
Right.
Or something.
Right.
So
I think TV shows stick to the 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I think movies have to follow that same deal. I'm not going to keep track of multiple 2 week timelines.
Yeah.
All right. So we can talk about what happened on the last episode of Minority Report, but Paranormal Activity 7 just came out, we can't talk about that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I think you're right. I think we stick to our guns. But we did get another email that made a really interesting argument. About this. And by the way, good decoding, everybody.
Dice Tomato might have been the first to nail it, but.
The mystery was killing me.
A lot of people since Dice Tomato prior to us figuring out what prior to them hearing the delay.
Yeah.
Also said the same thing.
We'll say post-tomato.
Post-tomato, sure. Exactly. Pre-tomato and post-tomato.
So somebody else sent a big long thing. It was like 9 paragraphs. So I'm not reading it on the show, but it was really interesting point. He made the point. Basically, it boiled down to this. The TLDR was he says, because this show is not a movie or TV-centric show,
mm-hmm.
even though we talk a lot about, that stuff. It's not the focus of it. that we're under different guidelines because people might be tuning in just for the great, you know, the back and forth or a segment they like or the music you play or whatever the reasons for liking the show may be different than that, as opposed to, say, maybe, you know, Film Sack or something, or the spoiler show with me and Jerry, where it's strictly about film.
Right.
It's a decent point. It's a decent point.
That is a decent point.
So maybe what you and I have to do, maybe we just tack on extra days and say, well, 2 weeks and 4 days for us.
Can we do this? Can we just make a promise to our listeners that when we have the forethought that we're about to release something that might be spoilery, we say, if you're not caught up on Arrow, then you may want to skip ahead a couple of minutes.
Yeah. And the hard part of that is just being able to tell them when to come back. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. So,
but
so we set a timer. Yeah. We say, all right, come back in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we set a timer, and at 2 minutes, we either stop or we say, all right, you're back. Make it another minute and a half.
Yeah. And then I'll make this additional promise. If it's something so spoilery that it's definitely something they want to make sure and be careful around, I'll make this promise. You and I will record a separate conversation about it and put it somewhere that people can get it if they
want
it.
There you go. Fair enough.
Okay? Like that. Yeah. So we'll do our best, guys.
So you streamers, sorry, because you can't skip ahead. You cannot go into the future. So.
No. We can, because we're about a minute ahead of you, but we can't warn you when we're about to say something.
That's true. I can put something in the chat room. Oh, we're talking about...
Yeah.
But I can totally see where people are coming from, because if someone were to show me some leaked information about a major plot point of Star Wars today, I'd be ticked.
Yeah, I probably would be too. I think I would. I don't know. I don't know if spoilers bother me that much. Like, sometimes I'll hear one and go, oh, and then I'm fine. And then I still want to see the thing, you know? It's not like I hold a grudge or have a chip on my shoulder for weeks. It's just kind of what it is.
I mean, you may be finding out about an event, but you're not finding out how they get to that event.
Right.
And so,
as George Costanza once famously said, we live in a society. Right. And because of that, it's hard to avoid these things.
That's right. Serenity now.
All right. So there's that. We also got an important note about home automation. This is a follow up to the home automation conversation you and I were having.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is from Bernie Walter, who writes in quite a bit. He says, okay. Hey, Scup and Bup, on Tuesday's show, you were talking about home automation. You guys forgot to mention that we already have had an automated way to turn the lights in our house on and off. It's called the Clapper, and we've had it for years. You're welcome. Love the show, Bernie Walter. You know, I never really thought about that, but that's
that was the beginning of home automation, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of was. That old lady going and then rolling over.
Oh, angry old lady. That's the one part of the commercial that I will never get out of my mind is this angry lady like, oh my God, the lights are on.
Yeah, she was pissed, dude. She was pissed. I think I have that commercial. Do I have that commercial handy? Let's just hear it. The Clapper. Clap on. Remember Clapper? Yep. Whoops. Clapper commercial. Here we go. Oh my gosh, one of the searches is Clapper commercial old lady.
There we go. See?
You know the one. All right, let's try this one from 84. Here we go. Clap on. It's a little quiet. The Clapper.
Let you turn things on or off from anywhere in the room. Just plug in the Clapper and a television, lamp.
Oh, the lady, dude.
Anything you want to clap on and off.
There she is. Clap on. She's about to roll over. Clap on, clap on. Oh, my TV's on. Damn it. The
Clapper. So I wonder if people who had the Clapper had the problems with that people now have with the Amazon Echo and a commercial that comes on for the Amazon Echo that says, hey, Alexa, crank up the volume to 200% and play Memphis Mayfire.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it never really occurred, but that stuff basically is modern day. It's modern day clappers.
It really is.
Yeah. Hey, Siri.
But the fact that the thing that advertises it now can trigger it.
Here, let's.
Oh my God, Amazon could have a commercial, and they only air it once, that says, hey, Alexa, buy 500 rolls of toilet paper.
Yep.
Yes, I'm confirming.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a pause in the commercial.
Right.
Yes, yes, I do want them. Pay no attention to the guy in the room. Do what I say. Here, let's piss everybody off. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
I'm just going to do a string of these.
All right.
Hey, Siri. Okay, Google. Cortana. Alexa. There you go.
Now all four of you talk to each other.
Yep. All right. Anyway, I wonder if Google here. I want to try another little thing here.
Remember the video when somebody had a couple Siris talking to each other?
I'm trying to remember. Did they have that?
Yeah, it was a Siri and a Siri and Cortana. It was like two.
They were chatting with one another.
Yeah, but it wasn't really chatting. Like it was like, I don't know what you just said. I am not understanding you. I don't know what you just said. I am not.
That's amazing. Has that really happened?
It's something like that, where like, you know, they were basically asking each other to repeat what they last said. Or
that's a great idea. I'm gonna have two Siri devices talk to get to each other today. I'm gonna do that.
Do you have a third one that you can record it on?
Yeah. I'm gonna see if I can make a real thing out of that. That's actually a great idea. All right, I'm gonna ask Google a question. We're gonna say, Google, what is the clapper?
You gotta say, okay.
Clapper,
Google.
The free swinging metal piece inside a bell that is made to strike the bell to produce the sound.
Fail.
Well, no, she's right.
Yeah, but fail, because who cares?
But she's not old enough to know the actual clapper.
I guess so. All right, how about this? How about this one? Google, what is the clap?
Clap, strike the palms of one's hands together repeatedly, typically in order to apply.
I wanted the disease.
Ask her, what is the sound of one hand clapping?
All right. Google, what is the sound of one hand clapping?
According to Wikipedia, the sound of one hand clapping is a 1997 novel by Australian author Richard Flanagan.
That's a real thing. All right, how about this? What is Brian Abbott? Brian Abbott Profiles, Abbott. Oh, well, and I said what is, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Try who is.
Let's try it again. Let's do it again. Here we go. All right.
It's still going to fail, and I'm going to be disappointed.
Who is Brian Abbott?
Try Brian Ibott.
Okay. Hold on.
That's what everything wants to call me.
Who is Brian Ibott? No. Hold on. It says, who is Brian Ibott? Like I space bot.
E-O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah. Nice. All right, let me try it one more time. Who is Coverville?
Oh, there you go.
Who is Somerville? Really struggles with your stuff there.
Now try what is Coverville, just in case.
Okay, let's see. What is Coverville? What is Caperville?
Oh, jeez.
That sucks.
Google.
Well, that sucks.
All right, bite my
this?
Shiny metal ass.
How about this one? What is Frog Pants? Frog Pants Studios. Almost got Johnson. Okay.
See?
It did it.
Yeah, I just don't have the social presence.
All right. You know what? We're going
to Minions rise up and provide me a social presence that is recognized by Cortana.
It's weird that Ibbot and Coverville are both getting hosed there. It's just dumb to me. Oh, well. Clapper.
It's they're words that are not very common.
Mm-hmm. What you gonna do? Can't do anything.
Nothing.
Okay, we're gonna call Daryl then. I figure when we can't do anything, it's time to call him.
Yes, right.
Here it is.
When all else fails.
Yep.
Call Daryl.
Call Daryl. It's time to Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
the Boop Show. Brand new episode up yesterday. Why is Destiny better, and how come GameSpot is convinced disc-based games are here to stay? All that and more on the latest Boop. Yeah. Get it at frogpants.com/boop today for free.
It went up last night, so go check that out. Daryl Lee there.
I am here.
I like that you came on and said a word. What'd you say when you came on? You went
ice warm. Because he said nude.
Oh, because he said nude. Yeah. Would you say, what was the goofed up word there, Brian? You said, why is Destiny better? How come GameSpot's convinced? Oh, no, said Boop Show, the brand nude episode.
The brand
today.
Nude episode, because I was looking ahead at Episdo.
Oh, Episdo.
And I was reading ahead and was like, what is Episdo?
Oh, gosh. Daryl, you sound better today. You must have a better connection there. What's going on with that?
I don't know. Just the same as every other day.
It's that weird, you know what it is? It's the weird weather you guys get. That's what I think.
It could be.
Yeah, that's my thinking. All right, Daryl's here. He does things like this. Hold on. That's his Chewbacca. I think that's his Chewbacca. Yeah. All right, there's a laugh. What else?
I guess I'll just have to bite it.
There's that.
It's all mushy and wet.
Yeah. What else we got?
I'm going to lick it.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that one. One more.
Oh, poo, that sounds hard.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. So, Daryl.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's get on it.
You don't even need me anymore.
No, we just.
No, we can. Yeah. All we need is A. Oh, I'm gonna go with A, and then like repeat that for A, B, C, and D, and then we can actually just fake Daryl the whole time.
I have a prediction. We were talking about voice recognition and devices earlier. Mm-hmm. Here's my prediction. One day, one of those things. Maybe it'll be Alexa because they or the Echo because that thing can be modified so easily and stuff. But maybe one of these things one day will let us do our voices in there. And what I mean by that, because all they do with the stuff that's generated for Siri or whoever isn't just computer rendered.
Right.
Somebody went and recorded all that stuff and all those words, and then that stuff's assembled into common phrases
or responses.
You can kind
of do that now with GPS systems and Scott Fletcher. You can have Scott Fletcher in your Garmin GPS.
Exactly. Or you can go, if you're playing Dota 2, you can put the Rick and Morty voice pack on Dota 2, and so all the announcer stuff happens from Rick and
really?
Morty. Yeah, it's really great.
Go up to the top lane, Morty.
That's basically it. You just nailed it. He's like, oh, no, they're coming down to the bottom there, Rick. What am I going to do? And he'll go, oh, Morty, it's okay. It's okay, Morty. Don't worry about it, Morty. Like the whole time. It's really good. And so
By the way, I read a thing that talked about that Dustin Roiland actually drinks beer, like really fizzy beer, to actually belch for real while he's doing the voice.
So he can talk and burp at the same time?
Yes.
By the way, his IMD photo is him covered in poo. I don't know why that is.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, you need to see it. I don't understand why that's there, but anyway, Daryl, I got an email that I think applies to us and you because we talk a lot about
Justin Roiland. Sorry,
because you're into what, season 7 or 8 of MASH there,
Daryl? Yeah, getting towards the end of it.
Oh, good, your phone's already breaking up. Wonderful. Well, we got an email.
Well, poo.
You're right.
That is the greatest IMDb photo ever.
It's
wow,
pretty gross. Yeah. I assume it's poo. I don't know what that is. Cheers, says Kiwi Red, and says this: when considering the origin of laugh tracks, because we talked about laugh tracks, right here on the segment, you have to consider the history of film and television. TV was the first solitary, or at least not viewed in a theater, form of mainstream visual entertainment. When viewing a comedic movie, or in the era before that, watching a vaudeville performance, there is no need for a laugh track, as you had people around you to laugh as well, assuming the performance was actually funny. I suspect the laugh track was used as a crutch in some ways to engender that funny in a crowd feeling, and now it's seen as a relic of the past by a more sophisticated modern TV audience. Cheers, Kiwi Red. I'm convinced Kiwi Red is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. I think that is exactly why laugh tracks were created.
Yeah. Sure.
It makes perfect sense to me, and it's
not... I don't want to be the only person laughing at Leonard Hofstadter.
I think
so you better add a laugh track.
I think it wasn't so much not trusting the intelligence of the audience. I think it was maybe none of this is funny if no one's laughing. Mm-hmm. And they were just so worried about that became the norm.
If a person is laughing in the audience and no one hears him, is he really laughing?
Right.
Or something
Ooh,
like that.
Wow. What do you think of that? Also,
what is the sound of one man wedding?
What is the sound of that? Well, we know what the sound of that is. We hear it every week.
What?
Every day.
What?
Did Honeymooners had a laugh track, right?
Honeymooners did. No, it had a live audience.
Oh, okay.
And remember, and they did it live
in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. And every time they do, okay. So like on Seinfeld, you can always tell when they're in the apartment and it's being filmed in front of an audience. That's a very different laughter.
Oh, than when they're like outside,
in
you know,
a car,
it's,
a taxi,
they're walking down the street or something.
Sure.
Why do you think that was a?
Like, would you watch
SNL?
I know
there's a tangent here, but do you think it was like a legal requirement that they had to say "Cheers" this film in front of a live studio audience? Like,
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like,
other shows
was
did it too.
Was it more like a "Hey, this milk is now 20% fat-free," or is it something like "This milk contains carcinogens"?
I think it was more like these laughs are. I think they were trying to. I think that may have been the pivotal point where they were trying to say, "Yeah, we're still doing laugh tracks. It's the 80s, but this is a real audience you're hearing, so this is more authentic. So come laugh at our show." I think that's what that was.
Okay.
Here's what I would say. Would you watch SNL if there was no if there weren't people watching it and laughing? Think of that for a second.
Would I watch SNL?
Yeah.
I watch SNL and there's nobody in the audience laughing.
Well, that's a good point. But let's forget about 15 minutes left in hour 3 of a typical.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The last half hour of SNL.
And let's even think about all the only the greatest times on SNL on all the greatest casts.
Sure.
Is that show remotely watchable without a laugh,
because,
without an
audience.
Modern
Family doesn't have a laugh track, and I find it hilarious, and
it
I
is,
laugh.
It is.
I
it's
laugh
funny.
Out loud.
No, shows without laugh tracks, don't get me wrong, they're great. Yeah. But would SNL specifically make you laugh? I don't think it would. I think that is meant to be in front of a big audience, and then part of that experience for us as viewers is to know that they're there and to hear them laughing too, because it's more like a vaudeville
performance. I don't
know.
That's an interesting point. I think I'd still find it funny.
I don't know. I'm trying to picture, like,
I would think I would.
Did you? Okay, so let's say Chris Farley's going in a van down by the river over and over. I don't know, man. And him falling on a table in the middle of the room. Imagine all that. You know what? Somebody go find this for me. Find me a silent version of that where only the laughs are taken out. Then maybe.
Well, yeah.
There's the
Big Bang Theory one with the laughs taken out. So you're talking about, right?
Kind of. Except the Big Bang Theory is kind of part of my problem. I don't think that show's that funny without the laugh track.
No. Yeah. So Ken Levine of the Straight Dope answered the question about, was it a legal requirement to have the show's film in front of a live studio audience on his blog, The Straight Dope. By the way, Straight Dope, awesome.
I love that site.
Website and books. I've got all the books on my shelf behind me. Apparently, it was because people wrote in complaining about the fake laugh track.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so they had to like say, don't worry, this is real. I mean, for you and I, it just became like a cultural moment, right? Like a thing to remember. But I guess it meant something to somebody.
Yeah, so it was, let's see here. We're getting complaints from viewers who thought we were leaning on the laugh track too hard. They didn't believe that the laughs were real, which they were. So the decision was made to tell the viewers that the show was filmed in front of a live studio audience. Of course, the complaints continued. People still didn't believe that the laughs were genuine. Mm. There was no rule as to which actor voiced it from week to week, saying, Cheers is filmed in front of a live studio audience. They all recorded the disclaimer, and the post-production guys just rotated them.
Yeah. Like the laughter that they were probably cheating and putting in there too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to take me a lot to convince me that I could watch SNL and think it's as funny without the audience there. But then again, I don't. Well, Modern Family is, but Modern Family's made like a movie. So is most modern comedies without laugh tracks. They're made like films now. Mm-hmm. Arrested Development and Scrubs, all that stuff is not made like a three-camera sitcom where people have to pause for laughter and things like that.
Right. But, okay, and I'm making a request right now, by the way, in relation to this. We need a Scott Fletcher clip of him saying, TMS is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This show right here doesn't have a laugh track.
Right.
No, but when... I'm not going to lie. When Brian says something, or when somebody says something funny, okay, Film Sack's a better example. When Dunaway does something he does like he does a lot, which just throws us all into a tizzy, a big part of why I'm laughing is because it's infectious to hear, like, Ibbot laugh. Like, Ibbot's laughter is infectious to me. So when he laughs really hard at something and really goes down the laughter rabbit hole, I can't help but laugh. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm not necessarily finding what was said as funny as he is, that is making me laugh. So there's something there, but that's also just interpersonal exchanges. That's not the same as an audience. We're not an audience for each other, right? But our listening audience at home will
We're
laugh.
Each other's live studio audience.
Right, we kind of are. We should disclaim every show at that. TMS is recorded in front of two live guys.
Right. Brian Abbott is real.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting topic. I just find that I think it's fascinating that part of human humor is such a weird thing anyway. And I think it's fun to talk about. Check this out, by the way. The Straight Dope's my favorite thing about the Straight Dope site is their slogan thing at the top. Fighting ignorance since 1973. And then below that in parentheses, it says it's taking longer than we thought. That's fantastic. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Right.
Why are firehouse dogs usually Dalmatians is one of their questions. I'm going to have to read that later. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, Daryl, speaking of the clapper, let's I don't know what that means. Let's get to you and your question here. We care little about today's schedule because Wendy's not here, so we're kind of all over the place. Your hard trivia question for Daryl the Trek Nerd is this. In the Next Generation episode, The High Ground, Dr. Crusher is captured by some terrorists. Riker is working with a woman to investigate this. She claims she has witnessed several terrorist attacks. She said a shuttle bus was destroyed and all the children on board were killed. What does this, or what does she tell Riker the terrorists claim was the target they were going after? Was it A, a military supply transport, B, a communication station, C, a medical depot, or D, a police transport? So supply transit, transport rather, communication station, medical depot, or police transport. Them's your options, A through D. Think about those real hard, because here for a second, we got this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We got the coolest thing from Tony Richards. Sounds like a self-help author, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
The new book from Tony Richards.
The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Pickles.
Yeah, how to find your bootstraps and a pickle. Okay, so he sent us... it says, MASH has brought up a lot. I figured I'd send something from Tony Paco's Cafe here in Toledo. So we always hear about that from Klinger.
Right.
Who got some of his fame or its fame on the show. Jamie Farr is from Toledo and mentions Paco's in a lot of Klinger's references in his hometown. They're known for their Hungarian chili dogs, but their pickles are definitely, quote unquote, interesting. Liver or fish, though, Tony Richards. Nice reference. So we are pulling out some of these, and there's 3 sets. We're going to try. The first set is Tony Paco's Pickles and Peppers, the originals. We'll try the weirder ones later, but this is, it's a combination of what looks like yellow banana peppers and pickles in the same jar. And also there's a pickle and a pepper in bed together, and I'm kind of bothered by that. Did you see that there, Brian?
What's that say again?
The pickle and the pepper sleeping together there. Do you
see
that?
I know. Yeah, well, she's pretending to be asleep so that the pickle will just kind of give up and watch TV.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. He's just going to watch the Larry.
I think we actually might have an audio. Hold on, I'm trying to see if this has an audio clip about, it's a MASH episode that mentions.
Oh. Yeah, is it isolatable?
It's a minute long here. There we go. You got to find Klinger talking. 1 second.
Okay, no worries. I'm going to open this. Daryl, you should open yours.
Yeah, and before we taste them, I have to say, I hate sweet pickles. I love dill pickles, so I don't know what this is going to do to me.
This is dill.
Oh, it is.
And I love sweet pickles, so I know I'm probably in the minority here. I'll eat both. I mean, I like both a lot, but I prefer sweet. Like a couple of sweet pickle long spears cut and put to the side of a beef hot dog. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Mm.
Oh, this smells fantastic.
In fact, I'm going to have this later. I have beef hot dogs and I have buns.
So. Oh, this smells like... Oh, it smells kind of like a mix between sweet and dill.
Well, this, I think you're getting the pepper from the pepper aroma.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's try. I'm going to try a pickle. Oh, look at these. They're thick, dude.
Oh, super thick.
Mm.
Okay, here we go.
Oh.
Mm.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's spicy, even though it's original. Oh, you mean we have to eat spicy ones later?
Well, you're saying, let's see. I haven't looked at the others. Are the others spicier?
Well, they say spicy on the front.
That's all right. These are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good pickle, dude. By the way, pickles, good for your digestive health. Turns out it's a fermentable food stuff. So when you eat things like this, they help... replenish the weird bacteria you need to have a good healthy GI tract. I'm learning a lot of this stuff lately. But anyway, pickles are good for that, so good thing I like pickles.
Mm. And they're low in calories.
Yeah. And they're high in sodium. So there's that.
Only about a calorie for each one of these chunks we're eating.
Really good, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. I think these could easily grow on me.
Oh, they're going to grow in me.
There's a chunk of pepper. I wanted to get down to a chunk of pepper. Oh, it's peppercini. Oh.
Yeah, peppercinis, dude. Did that link work, or is that no?
I listened to the audio. They didn't mention Tony Paco's at all.
All right. Well, it's not quite the same as him referring to Snapchats, is it? Where is that Snapchats? I don't know where that went. I'll just play this again.
I love fish.
All right, that's good. Daryl, what the hell? Oh yeah. Do you have one of these? Hold on. One of these?
Hey.
Today in Trek history?
Well, of course. Sort of.
Good.
Every pocketbook Star Trek book ever written came out today, or at least 21 of them did.
Whoa, wait, pocketbook? What's that?
Pocketbooks? Like the little kid reader things?
No, it's a company called Pocketbooks, and they make they put out tons of Star Trek books, and 21 of them came out on this day over the years.
Oh my gosh, really? So they made it annual? Like,
I'm not sure it was annual even. They pump them out October 1st. All the time.
Someone who could speak to that would be friend of the show and friend in real life, Jonathan Strickland, whose parents wrote some of those.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, he sent me that. They co-wrote a bunch of Star Trek stuff, and I've got them over there somewhere. There's some paperbacks, but I think those are probably, because the pocketbook's name is ringing a bell. And John, if you're listening, you can clarify this for us if you want, but I'm pretty sure that's all connected. Anyway, very nice. Congratulations to that date. Daryl, back to your question. There's this terrorist. They were claiming they were going after a target and ended up blowing up a ship with a bunch of kids on it. It's not very nice. A military supply transport, a communication station, a medical depot, or a police transport?
Okay. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that this bell that's ringing when you said communications means the right answer.
Right on.
I think I'm remembering this right.
All right.
Was there irony in the fact that the communications station was the thing he was saying when his communications went out?
There is some irony there. It's kind of like it's kind of like you made this sound.
My scrawny.
That sounds what you made. Except it was Wendy.
It didn't sound like Wendy.
Yeah. Close though. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. You're good now.
Maybe I'll move my. I'll move my phone way over here. How about this?
Yeah. That's a good one from Jerry. Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Do you guys remember?
It's hard to tell the ones that you do versus.
Yeah, I know. I don't know which one either. Go by Janice in accounting. Maybe she has a better connection. She has a window. Right.
Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? I'm Rabbit Hitler, and I hate to ride.
Nice.
I'll just keep saying communications, and one of these days you'll hear it.
I can hear it now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, you're good.
Communications.
That's the one you're going to do? All right.
That's the one.
All right. Is it communications? Whoops. Here we go. No, it's not. It's not that at all. It's a police transport. It says the terrorists claim they were attacking a police transport. Or Pulse transport is what he wrote here. But the shuttle bus got destroyed. Here's a clip right here.
The event that really opened my eyes took place only a few days after my arrival. A terrorist bomb destroyed a shuttle bus. 60 school children. There were no survivors. The Ansada claimed that it was a mistake, that their intended target was a police transport, as if that made everything all right.
I like her voice.
As if that was enough.
Well, I don't like it. She's too calm.
I like something about it. I don't know what it is. I find that kind of inflection, not the word isn't attractive, it's something else. There's something I like about that voice. I don't know what it is, but you're right, that it doesn't match the content. Yeah. She's talking about the death of all these children.
Be like Radar.
Yeah, what would he do
when he said that the what's his name died in a crash?
Spoilers. Yeah, no, when
skip
he came in
2 minutes,
came in and goes, but how did he do it, Brian? You do it pretty good. His plane went down. Over the thing.
Harry's plane went down over the Sea of Tokyo. There were no survivors.
No survivors. And then everyone kept operating in
silence. There was a pause,
silence.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
you need a voice that's about 3 octaves higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Frank went,
I don't give a shit.
All right, great.
No, that was the episode that Michael J. Fox came on gave the news. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Also, we know it's Sea of Japan, not of Tokyo, okay?
Keep your
emails to yourselves. We know. We're aware.
Sea of Tokyo, because, you know, Tokyo is...
Yeah, it's all fine. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at that name, the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Now, he'll play a game with us from his leftover pile.
Yes, indeed. Was this actor ever in Star Trek?
Here's your theme.
Metal Gear.
All right, Metal Gear.
Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer. Was he ever in Star Trek?
The director, Bryan Singer?
Mm-hmm.
Who did X-Men and whatnot? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a total, like, out-of-the-air name. So it makes me think he must have been on Star Trek, because why else would you pick a name like that?
That's what I'm thinking, too. He didn't direct any of the movies, but did he... co-write a screenplay or something? And
probably. I don't know. He's at that age. He would have been a guy doing that stuff around then, mm-hmm. maybe getting his feet wet. I don't know.
Yeah, let's say he was on there. All I
right.
like that.
All right, we'll say he was on there. How do we do?
Well, your reasoning is absolutely stupid, and for that reason, you guessed correctly because he was a tactical officer in Nemesis.
Oh, he acted? Oh, weird. I would have to. Oh, Nemesis, the movie Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Oh, he was probably buddies with somebody or something like mm-hmm. that.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's fine. Hey, you hear they want to make Tom Hardy into the next Wolverine? Have you heard about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's some talking. Like even
who's they though? I mean, is it just the fans, or is it like somebody in a position of power can do this?
Well, the current Wolverine, what's his name?
Hugh Jackman
is pulling for him too. He wants it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know if he has the pull or not, but he has the.
How tall is?
Tom Hardy. Tall enough. I don't think Wolverine needs to be. He's not necessarily known as a tall character, though.
No. He's known as a very short character.
Oh. Well, I think he's probably about right then. Because my guess is, well, you can find out. Let's see. How tall?
Google. How tall is 5'9"?
How tall is Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy is 5'9" tall.
Creepy.
There you go.
Creepy. Does it know how tall I am? How about this? Let's try
What's in Tom Hardy's trash right now?
How tall am I? I can't do that. How tall is Scott Johnson? Gizmo Wikipedia, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. How tall is Brian Ibott?
Yeah, that's certainly not going to happen.
Brian the Robot, FAQ, confused.com. Well, that's ironic. All right, anyway, what are we doing now? Oh, I know.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's time for the news brought to you by
spaghetti.
We had homemade spaghetti last night. Kim nice. Put her famous homemade sauce on there. It was fan-freaking-tastic.
Mm. Any peanuts?
No, but you say that because of the story with the peanut. In the long time ago.
Callback, people.
Yeah, now that you've done that, the house is paranoid that I may have tried to do it again and that I'm not admitting to it.
Really?
Yeah, because I brought it up. I said, people are funny. They think I may have dropped another mystery peanut into one of the things of salsa or of spaghetti sauce. And the kids and Kim are like, tell me you didn't do that again. I'm like, I'm not saying I did it again. I'm saying they think it'd be funny if I did. Yeah, but right. If you did. So they're super cautious now that I may have done it. But I didn't.
Awesome.
I put nothing in the sauce. Okay? Everyone, just calm down.
Way to go.
Yeah. I don't know who ended up with the jar that had it in there, but someone did.
It probably, you know, you put those in there long enough and they're probably just going to liquefy.
Oh, gross. Liquefied peanut. Does that sound gross?
They have boiled peanuts in the South. It's a thing.
Oh, they do. Except there they call them
and
bold.
They're squishy.
They call them bold peanuts.
Bold peanuts.
Bold peanuts.
Yeah.
Bold penis. What? Big, here we go. Oh, I got, look at this. Big screen Game of Thrones prequel. In the works. What? They're going to resurrect Tywin Lannister and Ned... Okay. Spoilers. I should warn people. We're going to talk about some people who...
If you're not... oh, boy. How far do we need to go
here?
Brian,
it was like 6 years ago, though.
Yeah, I know. All right. If you're not fully caught up on Game of Thrones or even... I don't even know.
If you don't know people who have died in those books or show... Mm-hmm. Then maybe you don't want to hear this first news story, but I'm just going to make reference to a couple of them. Okay, so they
skip ahead 2 minutes if you're worried about this.
You know, I have a better idea. I'll tell you. I'm going to say this in a way that won't reveal. Well, no, now it will because I've totally. Yeah. So skip ahead. All right. So now I'm starting. The
Game of Thrones prequel to bring back dead people.
Yeah. So bringing back Tywin Lannister, Ned Stark, Oberyn, and Robert Baratheon, maybe more. They have confirmed, allegedly. It says allegedly confirmed, which sounds like. Maybe raining, you know, like, I don't know what that means. Right. But anyway, at HBO's Emmy party, that showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are planning a big screen Game of Thrones movie. There will be a movie, but I will not be involved, says George R.R. Martin. I have too much to do. That's something HBO and D.B. and David are dealing with. I have two more books to finish, and I still have much to do. The pressure is on. I am such a slow writer, and the fans get upset that I don't write faster.
According to I'm Sci-Fi, who links us to an article, Game of Thrones movie rumors debunked by author.
Yeah, because later, because some people have questioned, did he actually say this? And then mm-hmm. Martin himself typed Tuesday on his not a blog. quote, no one is working on any movie just now.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. He says that just now part may prove important, however, because he has said before that HBO is contemplating a Thrones movie, so he may just be deflecting. Let's just say, though, that's if this is true, if these characters are coming back, this means prequel. This means like the wars before the current Game of Thrones timeline. That's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
I would watch that. So this means probably not even those actors and stuff. This would be like an untold story. So
really, this is an interesting article, but a non-article. Like,
yeah, it's like, hey, guess cool what news, they happened. Right,
basically said, it would be great if there was a Game of Thrones movie and it resurrected all these people. Yeah. And but they're really, you know, they're just thinking about it.
Yeah, I think he basically said, this article basically said, it's confirmed that a non-confirmed rumor, it might be confirmed, but not confirmed.
Right, yeah.
Lame.
Well said.
Kim Kardashian, the internet's own.
Oh, wish she wasn't confirmed.
Nope.
Wish she was just rumors.
She says that Kanye West is serious about running for president in 2020. This was on the Ellen Show. Reality TV show star, rather, Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian West, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the new West Annex.
Yeah, told host. Oh, Kardashian West sounds like an airline, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
It anyway. Never get off the ground though. Its tail is too big.
Oh, zing, boom, zing. Slam, slap. Anyway, the host Ellen DeGeneres there. She was that blue fish in that Finding Nemo movie.
That's what she's known yep. for. Right?
Rapper Kanye West definitely meant what he said when he spontaneously announced at the MTV Music Awards that he wanted to run for president of the United States. That was news to me. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians star told Ellen, he's serious, and I know that if he puts his mind to something, he'll do his best. She also says the recording artist would be especially excited about redecorating the White House. Hey, can we all knock it off now? Can we just, right. you know, everyone wants to say Idiocracy is coming true. Now, whether or not the Mike Judge movie is prophetic or not, I don't really care so much as I'm a little concerned about our celebrity-obsessed culture to the point that we would even give airtime to this. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. Of course he's not going to run. And if he does, he's not going to win.
No, exactly. He's going to basically he's got the problem that he may have the notoriety like Trump, but he doesn't have the funding to do it on his own like Trump.
No, not near right? the funding.
The fact that Donald Trump is able to do this is because he's a billionaire. He's got a lot of money to fund his own campaign. I don't think Kanye has.
He's a millionaire, but he doesn't have enough to blow it all on that. Also, does who's Trump's wife right now? It's not Ivanka.
Melania.
Did he marry nothing but like Russian mail order brides, or what happened there? Is that what's going on?
In my country, that hair is very masculine.
Someone in the chat room find this. Someone photoshopped him to have a man bun with his.
Yes.
Oh, it's great.
It is great. Yeah, Cleo posted that.
It kind of actually looks better than what he's got. It really does. And it's super realistic. Anyway.
Yeah. I
don't know, dude. I don't like this. I don't like this when some psycho celebrity just stands up and goes, I'm going to run for president. Well, and then we entertain it for months.
I'm going to just throw this out as devil's advocate here. But Ronald Reagan was an actor before he was a politician.
Yeah, no, totally. And you're not wrong about that. But is it the same as Kanye West or Donald Trump? Not even in the same ballpark.
Not even in the same ballpark.
I mean, I don't have the kind of worship for Reagan that certain people do. I think, but I liked him as a president. I think he was a good president. And there's some who will argue against me on that. I don't care about the politics. Forget about that for now, everybody. I'm just talking about as a president. Sure, I think he was all right. But he was like this normal, measured guy, right. Not Kanye West at MTV's Music Awards.
Well, and he also had the stair-stepping of being governor of California for a while before he ran for president. He didn't just go straight from reality competition star and billionaire and business owner to president,
or
hip hop mogul to president.
Sure. I guess then somebody would say, well, what about Schwarzenegger? He was governor of California. Would he ever make a good president? I don't know, dude.
Well, legally he couldn't because he.
Well, yeah, he's Austrian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he couldn't do it anyway, but
All right. Let's look at this a little more logically, or not logically, but let's kind of back it up a little bit. What current actor, provided that they went from, you know, their current acting gig to some other form of politics that kind of stair-stepped up to a presidency.
Okay.
Would you think would be feasible?
Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what his politics are, but I as a guy, you know, I could see him do okay. Okay, so there's one.
That's a good one. Alec Baldwin.
Oh, gosh, dude. No way that happens.
If I don't get elected president, I'm going to move.
Only if he goes up against his brother Steven.
Yeah, that's a shoe-in, right?
Because those two are on the opposite ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, they really are on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. Yeah. Big time. Every spectrum.
Yeah, every spectrum. The acting spectrum. Even.
Morgan Freeman is getting touted in the chat room by multiple people.
I would take Morgan Freeman.
Should go run for president.
I'd take Morgan Freeman. Sure, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of another somebody you respect. Someone you like, someone who seems to kind of have it together. Oh gosh,
Dame Judi Dench.
Yes, she's British though. She can't.
She's British. Yeah,
she's a British born.
She's been the queen like twice, hasn't she?
Something like that. Helen Mirren, she'd be all right.
Kevin Spacey.
No, John Stewart maybe.
Oh, John Stewart. Interesting.
His serious side, regardless of how you may feel about his personal politics, he's got his serious side is pretty good. He's smart.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be interesting.
Can we say Fred Thompson?
You can. Yeah. You know what? I mean, is he ran already?
He did. Yeah, that's right.
I kind of like Fred Thompson.
Yeah.
And again, I'm talking about likable and also kind of reasonably stable candidate. That's really what I'm talking about.
Play Fred Thompson's. Campaign slogan.
Okay, his campaign slogan, if I'm elected president, or hey, a vote for Fred Thompson is...
I don't give a shit.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
Yeah. And so I can't think of anyone else, though. Really?
Wow, some interesting names. Tommy Lee Jones, people are throwing out. Mark Ruffalo, Daryl Hammond, Scott Bakula.
I don't know. Ruffalo's pretty left-wing.
Yeah.
Bakula? Interesting.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Problem with Nick Offerman, he's actually kind of liberal. He's nothing like his TV guy.
His character,
okay, I got a better one. Take a character that isn't Jed Bartlett. Okay, a character, not the actor, but the character from any of the movies or TV shows you know of that are presidents. We just can't count Bartlett because it's too easy. Okay. Pick one of those presidents to be president. Who do you go
with? Which president from a movie or TV show would you like to be the actual president? Yeah. Palmer from 24.
Oh, he was great.
He was great.
Okay, Palmer's a good one. That's going to be hard to compete with, but I'm going to throw
and
out...
And think of the insurance discounts we get now that he's with Allstate.
Well, Brian, we're in good hands. The only other one I'd say is Dave. Remember Dave?
What, the Kevin Klein?
Yeah, I love that guy. I love the idea that a nice guy could make it in there and do good things. There's something about that. I know that's a fairy tale. I love that movie. Freaking loved it.
Interesting.
I can't think of anyone else.
Harrison Ford from Air Force One.
Get off my effing plane.
Yeah.
Or no, he didn't say effing. What'd he say?
He didn't say effing.
Get off my plane.
Get off my plane.
That plane belongs in a museum, Dad.
Dad. That sword belongs in a museum, Dad.
I can't think of anyone else, presidents-wise.
Yeah. There's some good people suggesting Pullman from Independence Day.
No, he's terrible.
He was a terrible president.
I don't like him as a president. Morgan Freeman's already been called, so you can't say the one from Deep Impact.
Right.
The Danny Glover one from 2012 was awful. We don't want him.
No.
He was whiny and terrible. Who else? Who was the president in
What about Gina Davis?
Was she president in something?
She was in a TV show where she was the president recently.
Oh, I didn't
can't
know
remember
that.
What it's called, though.
Was she like
the good president or something?
Was she... And no, you can't say Camacho, all right?
Can we say Selena Meyer from Veep? Because she, spoiler, she becomes president.
Oh, shoot. Skip ahead 2 seconds, everyone. I haven't watched that show at all, and it didn't bother me to hear that.
No, it's not. It's not a surprise.
It's a comedy.
Yes, exactly.
It's fine.
Oh, Madam President was what that was called, the one with Gina Davis.
How long did that last? Not long.
Ooh, President Roslyn, Cleo says.
Oh, right.
From Battlestar.
Battlestar. That's a good one.
It is a good one.
Oh, this is a fun one. You guys should send these in. Email us more of these, will you?
Yeah.
Speaking of Jack Ryan, we were just talking about sort of Jack Ryan-ish type characters. Mm-hmm. He's getting a series on Amazon. It will not be Chris...
Chris Pine?
Pine.
Yep.
Why was I saying Klein? Is there a Chris Klein?
No. Oh, there is a Chris Klein. He was the guy from American Pie. He's the big jock dude with the crappy haircut.
Oh, right. Oh, that was a crappy haircut.
Yeah.
Good call.
How was that ever allowed?
I don't know. 90s, man. 90s. Anyway, in the new iteration of Jack Ryan comes the lost duo co-showrunner pals Carlton Cuse and writer Graham Rowland from Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes and Sky Media. They're also on board to produce, and no one knows who's going to play Jack Ryan, but I'm actually kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
I like some Clancy in my life, so let's do it.
Interesting as a series, too. That'd be great.
And then finally, a cautionary tale. When Cole Marshall, there's a story about this poor man. Well, I don't know if he's poor, but he decided to buy an empty lot and build a house. You know, the American dream, Brian.
Okay.
One of his top priorities was getting fast, reliable internet service.
Sure, as it is for anybody, right?
Yep. He got assurances from Charter, the local cable company, that he would get internet access to his new home in Wisconsin. There was also a promise from a relatively fast DSL provider, with Telco Frontier Communications telling him they could provide 24 megabits download speeds. So he's thinking, well, good, I'll build the house then.
Perfect. Yeah.
He gets these assurances. He builds the home, finishes the house, and as it turns out, neither company could deliver. Once the house was built, Charter would only offer service if he paid $117,000 to cover the cost of extending its network to his new home. Frontier does provide DSL there, but only at slower speeds, 3 meg down instead of the old one.
So that's just a one-time cost, $117,000.
Yeah, the one-time fee.
Basically, yes, we'll put in a cable that goes from your nearest neighbor to you.
Yeah, that is horrendous.
wow.
Anyway, he works at home as a web developer. He really could use better internet. He's subscribed to Frontier and struggles with his internet connection daily. But there's nothing he can do. Should have gotten it in writing. Sorry, buddy. We actually did that story on DTNS yesterday, and I thought it'd be a fun one today.
That is a fun one.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's call now. You get to call in. Hold this number handy. You're not going to take the phone calls yet, but when we do, it'll be 801-895-4724. That's 801-895-4724. If you already have me on Skype, you can use that as well. So we'll get to that in a minute. Before that, though, Brian brought music. What are you going to play for us?
I did. This one's going out to Anna. She says, my boyfriend is a huge fan and supporter of your stream, and I'd love to dedicate some Grateful Dead music to him for his birthday and also for our 2-year anniversary. He loves me so much more than I deserve and makes me a better person every day. I'm so grateful for him. So, in honor, some Grateful Dead is in order. Signed, Anna, smiley face. Thank you so much, she says.
Lovely.
And her specific request, not just Grateful Dead, but a cover of Friend of the Devil, which is actually a really good Grateful Dead song. I shouldn't say actually, like they're, you know, like that's actually the good one as opposed to all the rest.
Yeah.
But what's good about it is that there are so many varied covers on it, and people who don't necessarily like the Grateful Dead, I know quite a few who, I think it just is associated with that whole stigma of jam band and acid and following them around the country in a stinky VW microbus and stuff like that, that they just associate all that with the Grateful Dead and not just listen to music.
Sure.
A band called Hot Ham and Cheese.
Wow.
Great name for a band. Yeah. On their 2008 album, Revolution and Revelations, did a great cover of Friend of the Devil. It rocks. Here's Hot Ham and Cheese and Friend of the Devil.
Time, friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. They're the A-Team.
The A-Team. Hannibal, Face, Murdoch, and B.A. Baracus. Each is sold separately from Krona Toys.
Is Elvis alive? Judge for yourself by calling the 900 number on your television screen.
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with P? This is the Morning Stream.
We're back. That was raucous. I liked it.
Yes.
Really good.
Not what you'd necessarily associate with the Grateful Dead, is it?
No, not necessarily.
There you go.
Hey, look at this.
They're all sold separately. They come with accessories.
Call now.
Oh my gosh, that means one thing. It means we can add this call to the thing. Hi, who's this?
Oh.
Hello?
Before you take any other ones.
Yeah.
Cleo has to go. Can we do points with her real quick?
Yeah. This one won't answer though. Hello, can you hear us?
Hey, hi.
Oh, hi. Who's this? Turn down your radio.
Hello, Tom, I got your email about finding my cat. I am so relieved to finally get Captain Whiskers back.
What the hell is this?
Who's this, Fletcher?
It hung up.
Oh.
Was that Fletcher? No, was it? It could have been.
It could have been.
It might have been now. I mean, it got hung up on. I don't know. Or he hung up on me. Ah, crap.
Captain Whiskers.
All right, we'll call Cleo. Let's get that in. She's got somewhere to go, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, here's that thing, by the way.
That's the beginning of Diablo?
Yeah, Diablo 2 specifically, although they are reminiscent of that in the new one as well. Cleo, are you there?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning. Where are you off to today? You have some big hot deal to do? What you doing?
No big hot deal. Kindergartner needs clothes, so I have to go do that.
I understand. It's mother business.
Can't have them go to school naked.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, they frown on that around here.
Well, there you have it. Hey, it's good to have you on.
Thanks.
Share with us the things you thought were funny. Because, you know, our best work really probably will happen in the next half hour, but we're going to just assume that everything we thought was really funny happened already. So you tell us what it was.
That's right. There'll be nothing point worthy from this point forward.
Yeah. No, from here on out, guys, feel free to suck since I won't be in the room. So
All right. Here
we go. Crowdsourcing. This entire segment is brought to you by Crowdsourcing Verse from the Facebook page. These guys were on point this week, so I grabbed a bunch of stuff there. The first crowdsourcing question I had was, give me your best 1-800 number, since you did that.
All right.
The first one he had was 1-800-800-8135, which of course spells 1-800-BOOBIES.
Right.
I thought that was nice.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
The next one that I thought was good, somebody suggested we change the call now number to 1-800-EAT-RICE.
Okay.
Good. And the best of the entire pick, does the guy who said, until I read the comments, I thought you were asking for a random number between 1 and 800.
1 to 800, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is fantastic.
Oh, God.
That's pretty good.
Let's see. Second crowdsourcing question I asked is, what makes gluten-free food taste delicious? Most people said bacon, salt, and butter.
Okay.
Undocumented gluten.
Okay.
It's the smug sense of self-satisfaction and the tangy finish of knowing you're just that much better than the next guy. And this guy who said, for my gluten intolerant buddy, it's the delicious joy of knowing that that particular cookie won't make him crap himself, which I thought was nice.
You know, that is true.
Yep. Too close to home there, Scott. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see. The last crowdsourcing question we had was, Kim Kardashian is famous because, well, porn. Why are Scott and Brian famous? The answers were mostly poop jokes and porn.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is famous because he's an incredible linguist that can pronounce the most complicated of words without difficulty. And Brian is famous for his amazing, beautiful, flowing hair.
Oh, wow.
And the winner for the week was Cindy Parkhouse, who we all know and love, who said that the reason TMS is famous is because Brian Ibbett can fit entire cities in his mouth.
Oh, man, that's a throwback, isn't it?
That is a throwback.
Wow, way back. Good luck with the clothes hunting.
I think we'll do okay. I don't want to know why my five-year-old is partially naked at school, but, you know, they only do what they see at home.
Get some tough skins if they still make those. I think that would be great.
I'll try.
All right, bye now. Brian stepped away from the microphone. He made a face and then walked away. I'm very curious about what's going on there. Everything all right? Everything good?
Yeah, I just had...
You made a face.
My son comes down and he's holding up my leftovers from last night up and then pointing to himself like, I eat?
I eat this?
I eat?
Yeah, you gave a big uh-uh. Do not eat. All right, let's see who this is.
I just don't want to do it.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, I was just calling because I live down the street from you, and your daughter come to my house today, and she kicked my dog.
This is a pre-recorded thing. I've heard that before. Oh, and he hung up. Great. Well, this is going well. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Scott. It's I am Sci-Fi, Ian from Brooklyn.
Oh, fantastic. A guy who's Sci-Fi. Actually calling us and not playing a pre-recorded message. This is right. Good. I'm proud to have you on, man. What's going on?
Not too much. I figured I'd change it up by actually being real. Yeah, I was wondering. It's New York Comic Con this upcoming week, and I'm going to be getting some sketches from different people and whatnot. I'm wondering if you had the chance to get a sketch from any particular artist, who would it be?
Oh man, for me it would be Jim Lee because I know he's a big deal at the New York Comic Con.
Nice.
Yeah, he'd probably be a first or at least high up on my list. If Fiona Staples is there, I would kill to get some art signed by her. Trying to think anyone else. Brian, any comic artists that jump out at you that you'd love to get a signature
for me,
from?
Bill Sienkiewicz or Kyle Baker. Those are two of my favorites.
Oh, that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. Even that's better, cool. If somebody was at Comic-Con in New York and somehow got one of those or anybody really that has any sort of semi-fame out there in the nerd world to do a little, hi, this is Jim Lee and you're listening to the morning stream. Boy, I might just send them some rad stuff in the mail. Just saying.
Ooh, yeah.
Just saying.
Well, I will have a recorder with me for my podcast, so I'll see what I can do.
Okay, all right. Look at that, New York. Getting it done. I like that. Well, thanks, dude. We appreciate your call, as always. Let's try this one. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hey, this is Gary, the land guy.
Well, hello,
oh,
Gary.
Hey, land guy.
Gary, if there is a microphone in front of a place that we're in and,
I was gonna say
and
that.
You don't
you
get on
get
it, then...
between me and a microphone, you'll get hurt.
Yeah, the shortest distance between Gary and a microphone is not as short as you think. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. What's going on, man? How are you?
Well, Warcrusher and I were talking in the Tadpool about the AIE Guildhall at LizCon, and I was just wondering, you guys going to be there?
I'm going to be there.
Yep, I'm going to be there too.
Oh, I didn't know that for sure. That's great.
Yes, I am for sure. I got my BlizzCon ticket thanks to Tom Merritt. He and Gnome Wise and I were the three F5ers trying to get tickets, and as soon as one of us got through, we let the other two know, and so
fantastic.
Me and the cover spawn will be there at BlizzCon.
Very nice. I'm bringing my spawn with me as well. Carter and Nick are coming.
Cool.
Yeah, so making a little bit of a family affair.
Yeah, and they'll have people to hang out with, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time.
Okay,
so,
looking forward to seeing you then.
Yeah, it should be good, Gary the Land Guy. We'll see you then, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. All right, Gary. Who else we got out there? Anybody else want to call in, ask us some questions? We got friend of the program, Todd Whitehead, on the line. Hello, Todd.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Hey, just speak of the devil and here I come.
Yes, here he is. The devil is here. What's going on, man?
public service announcement for you guys. I've just opened up the voting on the special one-of-a-kind episodes that everyone earned by donating to the Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. So head over to tinyurl.com/alphageekepisodes and vote now.
Awesome. That sounds great. I'm going to go vote. Hold on.
Excellent.
Give us the URL one more time.
tinyurl.com/alphageekepisodes. I beg your pardon. So I'm screwing it up already. Alpha Geek Specials.
Geek Specials. Oh, okay. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, because the other one takes me to porn.
Oh yeah, look at this. So you got to pick two hosts. Oh, okay, okay. I'm gonna do this as soon as the show's over today.
Oh wow,
this is exciting.
And I'm still accepting topics. So tinyurl.com/alphageektopics is still accepting topic suggestions. So if you see things there that inspire you, send them along. I'll get them added to the survey. We got 2 weeks for people to vote on this, and then I'll be roping all you guys into doing the special episodes. Everybody vote for the ELR one-off episode.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I can't believe that's a thing. All right. Yeah, watch for that. Awesome stuff, Todd. That's cool, man. Hope you're doing well. We're going to see you at BlizzCon, too, right?
Oh, heck yeah. There will be streaming. There will be streaming.
There will be pain. Yay. See you later, man. Oh, I just missed one that called in. Keep calling if you didn't get in the first time, everybody. Right. They just time out after a while. 801-895-4724 is the number. You can call it right now. That's 801-895-4724. I rage.
Ooh.
That's what it spells. Something else I was going to say about BlizzCon. What was it?
You don't do Disneyland before or after.
No,
usually.
No. Kids
even
don't
with,
care.
With the kids with you, though?
Nah, they don't care.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but we're kind of we've been pretty recently and we're good.
Oh, you know, I could do Disneyland every year.
Yeah. I like it there. It's just
it's the happiest place on earth, Scott.
It kind of
and
is.
Where else are you going to get your orange whip?
It's a pretty well, there's a place up the street now that
what
makes them, and they're fantastic.
Oh,
next time you're out here, we'll go get them. And when they launched them, they did them for a dollar that day. That whole day, you could get them for a buck. And
it was, no way, yeah, really?
I,
okay.
I got like three of them that day. I did. I got like three and ate them like a pig.
There's no halfway for you, is it?
Nope. It's all or nothing. It's think about being moderate, spending only a dollar, having a nice treat. Nope, can't do it.
None or three.
It's like going to Walmart or going to Costco and not buying a giant pack of something. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Hello? Are you still there?
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
We're here. Are you there?
I am a prophet in the name of Allah.
It's another one, dude.
Jeez Louise.
It's another one.
Another recorded thing?
Yeah, I think it's the same guy, and he's just sitting there with his soundboard doing stuff. It's like me calling somebody and then going,
what?
Every time he says anything or
I don't give a shit.
Whatever.
Right, like, yesterday when day before yesterday, whenever it was, that we were talking to the guy about a free cruise. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is pay port charges of $59.99.
Somebody yesterday told me that same number is a old support line for HP.
Really?
Yeah, that we called an old support line. Isn't that funny?
That is funny. I wonder if it was just buried somewhere in my subconscious.
Well, I'm going to do a test right now because someone also suggested you could call any combination of numbers from 1-800 number and get a line like that. So I'm going to try one here. So let's just fake one. 800, okay. 632-7000. I'm just making this up.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Let's see what we get. We even get a ring here. No? Maybe?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, it's...
Well, whoever... The guy on Twitter lied.
Oh, here we go. He was a guy on Twitter, too. Here we go. Ringing. Second ring. Okay. It's maybe the worst idea I've had all day. Still nothing. Well, maybe it's a real number, but no one's answering it.
Hmm.
This is Debbie from the Idaho Subcontractors Bid Service. Sorry I missed your phone call. Please leave your phone number and name and date and time you called, and I will get back with you. Thank you.
At the tone,
okay, here we go.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Debbie. Was it Debbie?
It was Debbie, yeah.
Oh, hi, Debbie. Bye. Couldn't think of anything. I'm not a good pranker. I'm a lousy pranker. I don't do it well.
Prince Albert in a can? I'm sorry. Goodbye.
I gotta go. All right. Last chance, everybody. 801-895-4724 or on Skype at My Extra Life. You shouldn't have to add me. You should just have to call me. That's 801-895-4724. While we wait for another call, I'm going to read you an email.
Yeah, sounds good.
I had a fan donate... a game to me, Mad Max on the PC.
Oh, wow.
Which I really wanted to play, but it came out at the same time as Metal Gear 5, and I thought I probably should pick that because that's the hot business, but then eventually I get around to it. Anyway, he says, you've got to play this. It's great. I said, great. He's right. It's totally up my alley. It's all Mad Max-y, and it's rad, and you're out in the desert, and you're driving a crappy car in the dirt, and what else can you ask for in life? So I'm really excited about it. So I'm bringing... These emails are brought to you by him, is all I'm saying.
Cool.
Hi, Silly and Billy. Scott, your story about seeing a guy in the car next to you with his wiener out, or as he put it, his Google out, reminded me of an incident with Tracy Morgan I heard about on an old Stern interview with him. Apparently, some time ago, Morgan was fined for public indecency for having his Yahoo out while he was in his car in New York City. Stern asked him why he would do this, and Morgan's response was that it was summertime and there are so many women dressed so attractively that he had to park and bing his schlong. So perhaps
had both a Google and a Bing reference in
Google,
this email.
Google, Bing, and Yahoo, in fact.
Oh, and did he say Yahoo? Yep. There we go.
So he thinks that answers the mystery. Hello, you are on the air with TMS. Who's this? That's this guy again, I'll bet.
Another one.
Oh, that one hung up. He got chicken. Hi, Scott. Just wanted to say something about the Blink-182 discussion, says Nick, the millennial Blink-182 fan. I'm proud of it.
Okay.
I was born in 1995, and I'm 20 years old. So it's basically the same age as my daughter.
Yep.
And I too love Blink-182. I think you kind of nailed it when you said how our generation doesn't really have a kind of music to call our own. I totally agree. My whole life, I've listened to a ton of 80s and 90s music and even some 70s stuff. Not sure why I love bands like Blink-182 and others like it, Something about the style I love. I know it's kind of dumb and cheesy and totally 90s, but that's kind of why it's good. It's hard to explain. Also, I know it's... All I know. Why am I saying also, Brian? It says all right there.
I don't know.
An A and two L's. That's should be easy. All I know is when I'm with friends and Blink-182 comes on, we all know it. We know it's kind of lame, but we know the songs and they're fun to jam to. Also, my brother, who was born in 99 and is 16, hates Blink-182.
What's his age again?
So two things happened to my brain right then.
Yeah.
One was, oh, I've screwed up another word, but I didn't.
Right.
And two, that was a really good joke and I almost missed it and I feel bad for almost missing it. That was pretty good. He's 16, hates Blink-182 and makes fun of every song that comes on when I'm listening, always makes fun of lead singer's voice. So maybe he's the age that the cutoff is. Thanks again. Love the show. I don't know. I don't know what the cutoff is and I don't hate them. I just don't understand why they're so revered by the 20 to 22 year old set.
I can see why. I mean, it's harmless pop, and it's they've got, you know, some catchy hooks. Yeah, it works.
Hello there. I'm gonna do that part. Ready? I'm gonna do that part. Here it is. I'm gonna play that. Just that little hello there part. It's good. Okay, here we go. We're coming up to it.
Okay.
Here we go. Come on, bring it out, bring it out.
I was so proud because I knew the Grateful Dead.
There it is. Hello there. Hello there.
Hello there. My little windmill.
I did see a funny Vine somebody did once where it's very quiet, no music. Guy walks into a stall of a public bathroom, looks around a little bit, drops his pants, looks down at the toilet, and there's a face in there, and then that song goes, hello there. Now that's funny.
That is funny.
All right, one last email. This from, who's this? Justin wrote in, not Justin Robert Young.
Right, just a different Justin.
Yeah, and this is in response to the, because I'd asked the question, especially on Twitter, I may have said it here, why some are calling the NASA announcement about water on Mars, seeing it as a leftist propaganda machine or something. Which I don't understand. It's just, hey, scientists found water on Mars. We should be excited about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Scott, you asked for good reasoning for that discussion about the sometimes Republican view of NASA. I apologize for the length, but I really felt context was important. I know it's silly, and you rightly don't credit the religious reasoning concerning the water on Mars controversy, but there are people that genuinely believe that line of thought. My parents are some of them. This, in my opinion, actually ties into a larger philosophical point some highly religious slash conservative folks hold, namely that scripture claims that man was made in God's image. The viewpoint has been explained to me that if God in fact created life on earth in God's image, then we are the focal point of his love and creative desire. Should life exist on another planet, people such as my parents would feel immediately like it diminishes our cosmic significance. Well, yeah, you mean the same as when we found out we weren't the center of the universe and everything didn't revolve around us?
Right, exactly.
You mean like that time when people were burned for saying that? You mean that? In fact, they are concerned that the possibility of life anywhere outside the Earth could cause God to disappear with an existential pop, since they believe we owe our physiology to intelligent design. A bit of inflammatory statement on my end. Apologies. I don't think that's inflammatory. I think you're explaining yourself fine.
Oh, sure. No, he's saying that it would... Yeah, he's saying that in his opinion... If life is outside of Earth, then it would cause God to go poof.
Oh, just puff. Oh, I see what he's saying. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
That's what he's saying, yeah.
He says, again, not saying this is a good reason. I just know you demanded a good reason, and this certainly isn't it. But people do believe it. Now now that you have a bit more context, hopefully you can see where folks are coming from. People that share beliefs with my parents are gravely serious about their views, and they genuinely believe NASA and groups with similar goals are creating a modern Tower of Babel scenario. In my opinion, political groups are exploiting concerns of religious groups to further their own careers, and I agree with that. Here's what I would say. When I grew up, I was told and taught that God created the whole universe. So if you're going to come at it from the God angle, why isn't that okay? I didn't know anyone had the whole Earth only thing going.
Want to start a religion and you want it to work out, if you don't want you don't want it to fall apart in a few years or in a several hundred years or millennia, whatever, Don't use absolutes that will conflict with something that science will discover later on.
Yeah, the blood moon means the coming of the four horsemen, when right, really exactly. It just means...
Because all it takes is science proving that it doesn't, and all of a sudden your whole religion falls apart. So you need to, when you're coming up with your religion,
mm-hmm. yeah,
develop some guidelines that are a little bit flexible. So
yeah, when you're next time you're doing that, everyone, come up with rhyme with Brian. Be a little more flexible in your views. This happens to all of them. They all have this happen. It's considered heresy at some point, and then it's considered fact, and then they all have to change their theologies around. It's totally a thing that happens. But I just don't understand. I guess I just grew up being told that it was... Let's just look at it purely from a religious mm-hmm. standpoint.
Right.
Why are you locked into just this planet? I didn't know right. any Christian religion or other religion had that lock-in. I didn't know that. I thought it was God created everything. And to me, that meant if that's the umbrella you stand under, that meant everything.
Right. The heaven, the stars. Like, I thought there was a line in the Bible that says he created the heaven and the stars and the earth.
But, and the earth. But right. but that doesn't mean only the earth. Is that how people are interpreting it? See, I never would have.
Yeah, no.
My feeling would have been, like all the stuff.
Right, exactly.
If to me, it's all or nothing.
In the process of creating the stars, there were also other planets, but we're going to focus on Earth for right now.
Yeah, and it's not, and then it's a lot easier to get. I would think the religious mind would like that because it would be easier to get around things like, well, then what are these other planets for? What's mm-hmm. Mars doing over there, just hanging out? What's Saturn doing with its weird rings? Weird. Well, anyway, you know, like I'm confused about the idea that a big part of what we're talking about here with people being anti-NASA has to do with a long-held belief that Earth is it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying that's it? Because that's weird to me.
Yeah.
That's freaking weird. Anyway, send your responses, your emails, your thoughts into the show at themorningstream@gmail.com. As you can see, we're not afraid to tackle these hard issues.
No.
And have some fun doing it. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail line. You can leave us voicemails anytime. Thanks for playing Call Now, everybody. That was awful fun. Thanks to that guy who kept sending recordings. That was real fun there, buddy. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville all on Twitter. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. Everything can be found at frogpants.com/TMS. And a quick note of business. I had screwed up, and on the webpage, we have two different RSS feeds. One for the latest show all the way through 200 of the latest episodes. That's our main feed. Then I made a second feed that has everything older than that on its own. The reason was to keep the feeds from being too giant, right?
Right, yeah. There's problems when those RSS feeds get too big, those XML files.
Yeah, so I try to keep them around 200 a piece. I'm probably going to have to split them further at some point. But right now there's two of those, and they had the wrong link. So people are like, you're missing like hundreds of episodes in the old link. And I'm like, no, it's there. But then I went and found out I was wrong, and sure enough, I fixed it all. So if you go to the webpage and you're looking for that, those two feeds are absolutely accurate now.
Cool. By the way, one real quick thing that Blink-182 reminded me of. Do we have any idea who the musical performer is going to be this year?
No, they haven't said. There's a lot of theory floating around because he's been showing up at a lot of these other kinds of events, and he's a giant Blizzard fan, but there's a lot of talk about Skrillex finally. Or not Skrillex. Oh. Deadmau5.
Deadmau5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which actually is... I think I kind of avoid the concert. I usually am like, I'll go play games or something.
Sure.
I don't really care that much.
It is a great time to go get in line for Overwatch.
It is. It really is. And I didn't care about Blink that year, and I really didn't care. I mean, I like Metallica, but I wasn't really into that. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all their CDs. I can just listen to that stuff. So for me, it's not that big a deal, but Deadmau5 might be the one that I'd want to sit down and, however we do it. But anyway, he's a huge Diablo guy. Plays like... He's like Paragon level 600 or something. He's just like an insane Diablo guy. He even has a name or a trinket or a necklace in the game.
Oh, named really? After That's him. Named after him?
Yeah, and if you wear it, you have like a 25% chance of using a certain ability. And when you do, all the minions that you're fighting will suddenly start jumping up and down uncontrollably. Like they're dancing or something.
Huh.
Anyway, awesome. Who knows? That's my prediction. I have no idea. It could be a returning guest finally. I don't know. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
We'll find out soon enough.
I'm surprised. If you had any idea.
I'm actually surprised we haven't heard by now.
That's what I am too, because usually that's a couple months out, and we're a couple months out.
Mm-hmm. If not even that. Well, yeah, I guess we are exactly 2 months out. Anyway. No, we're not even
that. No, we're a little over a month out.
Yeah, a month and a week or something.
Exactly.
Good Lord. All right, that's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Brian, again, a note, no TMSPM today. I got a meeting, got to do it. Sorry, everybody. We'll be back Monday, though. Don't worry. Lots of content this weekend as well, so watch for all that. All right, Brian, music.
Yes, and I had to refresh my memory here because there we go. That's what I chose right there, and it's this email. Another Jay Martin wrote in, said, "Hey there, Snoopy and Beagle. October 1st is the birthday of my lovely fiance, Steph, a.k.a. musical chemist or music alchemist. Unfortunately, this year I cannot celebrate with her because I had to travel to San Francisco for a work conference. I'd like to request a cover song that Brian could find that would meet any or all of the following criteria. A, from the 80s, either the original or the cover. B, about being far away from someone. Or C, having lots of trombone and or baritone sax. If those can't be met, maybe another one could be met from the following criteria. A, tender. C, B, crisp. C, bacon. D, cheddar. Or E, ranch."
Wow.
"It's a tender, crisp, bacon, cheddar, ranch."
I like that because it gave me time.
"Yes. Did you know, love the show, though, in French is, I mets le spectacle si, spectacle si? No? Oh, okay.
Gross.
I can't even say it.
It's French.
So, all right. 80s song about being far away from somebody. First thought was Missing You by John Waite, 500 Miles by The Proclaimers. Dang, it's right there in the title. Let's just say So Far Away by Dire Straits. Great song. It was the beginning, too. I think it was the opening track of that great album, not Money for Nothing. That came from the same album. It was called, shoot, I can't remember. Brothers in Arms is what it was called.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Such a great album.
Yeah, it was really good.
So Far Away, performed here by The Last Names. These guys did something really cool. They did had a website where for 52 weeks they released 52 cover songs. And it was so cool. And they had some great ones on there, including this one here. It's a cover of So Far Away by Dire Straits and performed here by The Last Names.
All right. We'll be back Monday. Thanks, everybody, for a fantastic week, and we'll see you then.
So far away from me. And where are you when the sun goes down? You're so far away from me. So far away from me. So far I just can't see. So far away from me. You're so far away from me. Tired of being in love and being all alone. When you're so far away from me. I'm tired of making out. Because you're so far away from me. So far away from me. So far I just can't see. So far away from me. You're so far. I get so tired when I have to explain.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Pop. Simplify from Zebra. One more. One H. Quick penalty. Two tack to go to us.